Welcome. Now we are going to talk about some interesting stuff about the job profilers, how we are going to advance them, what they are, what we are now, and so on. So let me start with this. So you know the situation when you come to a party, you meet new people, and somebody just goes like...
So what do you do for a living, Yaroslav?
Well, I do job profiling at Datadog.
So what does this mean?
Well, Johannes, it's a tooling to collect data, explain data points, and provide with all the insights. And why, Borg?
Have you talked to me? I don't know. I forgot what you talked about. So what are you really doing?
Well, I just, I'm kind of performance crime detective, you know? It's like.
So you're shooting software developers?
I wish. No. I'm working on tools which provide answers to questions like, what is hogging the CPU? Why is your bot getting killed? Why your service is timing out? Why the latency is spiking and so on? And for this...
You probably have tools, don't you?
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned in the beginning, we're going to talk about profiles, right? So we have the toolbox for Java, and there is something which is called Java File Recorder, right? Which is coming in Java. And async profiler, and something called OTEL eBPF profiler. Maybe you know about it, but not we are going to mention it today. So there's a bunch of tools.
So now you probably give us an overview?
I can do that.
So what's this JDK flood recorder? I heard you've done something on this a couple of years ago.
Well, I just helping out, but here we have Eric Galling from the JFR team. He could talk much more about this. So he's in the right team. So I'm just helping out with some stuff. But it's a really neat tool inside JDK. It's a lightweight, not only profile, it's like big observability tool, which can give you insights into how your JVM is behaving, also your application. It has very minimal overhead. It's extremely stable, extensible, and okay, let me repeat it, it's built-in JDK, so it's always there.
That sounds really good. Can you explain to me how it works, how we get execution samples from it?
Yeah, well, the execution sample is kind of CPU profiler. Well, it's an approximation of the CPU profiling, and there is this algorithm behind that. So if you imagine we have on the right side, there is a thread list you have in Java and JVM. So JFR sampler goes in, and each 10 milliseconds, by default we have like 10 milliseconds of profiling or more, it scans the thread list and picks next non-blocked Java thread. That means the thread which is not blocked, which is kind of running. Then it suspends the thread and that takes the stack trace and generates the sample. Then it goes back, picks next one non-blocked Java thread, does the same thing, but sometimes it can happen that the acquiring the stack trace will result in error. In which case, the JFR sampler currently will just skip it. It will just, okay, I don't know what to do with this. So it will just skip it. And it will repeat this until it fills up like 5 sample slots, right? So this is happening each 10 milliseconds. That's fine for most of the users. It will give you pretty good view of what your CPU is doing.
But this seems to have a problem. For example, because we're using a sliding window, we're getting only like 5 stack traces every few milliseconds. So that's a problem, because when we now plot this, like the effective sample period of every thread, plot this with the number of threads, then you can clearly see that the effective sampling rate scales linearly with the thread count and the stack walking error rate. So that's pretty bad, because now we don't have any clear relationship between CPUs and samples. Between CPU time and samples, and that's not great, isn't it? But I heard years ago there were profilers. I'm not looking at you specific profiler, Visual VM. There were profilers that had some save point bias. So essentially that meant that so save point essentially means that there are points in a program where you can reason about the program, where, for example, the heap has a specified state. This is the point where we do, for example, garbage collection. And do we have still the save point bias?
No, we don't have? In JFR, like JFR is not stopping, or JFR sampler for the execution sample is not stopping at save points. But it will just land at any place where it happened, right?
But is this the full truth?
Well, yeah, but there is this thing called symbolication, where we need to get the human-readable form of the frames. Like in the stack trace, we have frames. The frames are basically addresses, and we need to somehow figure out like what the hell is that? Like what is the name of the method and line number? And this turns out to be slightly surprising if you are not very familiar with things. So how we do that? We ask JVM to give us the information. For the interpreted code, it's pretty, well, easy, let's say easy. The JVM does all the heavy lifting. We will get the full information for the interpreted frame. That's fine. But for the JIT compiled code, the JIT compiler, it's a big beast, right? So it will just transform the code all over the place. And it might get difficult to actually get back to your source code. So what it does, it inserts something which is called debug info in places. And the symbolication part is using this debug info. So that means, like, you see that we have a bunch of, this is assembly, by the way, of the JIT assembly, right? And we have a bunch of instructions, blah, blah, blah. And we land, the sampler lands at particular instruction, and then we need to figure out the debug info. So we need to do this. We need to jump over, blah, over all the instructions until we hit the debug info, and then we will say, okay, so this stack trace was taken at this particular place. Here it's like line number 17. This is the default. And if you, I'm pretty sure here are some people from the JIT teams are familiar with the JIT. So this is one of the places when you look at the code, one of the places where JIT actually is placing the save points. Like this is loop back edge. So when loop goes back, there is a save point usually. Well, the JIT people could talk more about this. This would be like another 1.5 hour talk at least. So we are getting debug info only at save points. So that means that even though the sampler is not save point biased, the symbolication will bias back to the save points. So that's like, yeah.
But can we do something about it?
Yo, clever people at JVM, they came up with the JVM argument, debug non-save points, which you can provide. And when you do that, suddenly, boom, you have a bunch of debug infos like sprinkled around the assembly code. And this makes it much more easier for the profile to reason about the frames where it landed. So, just one jump away from the happiness, and you have the frame name. And you see, instead of line 17, which was the loop back edge, we are in the line 16, which is actually the code which was executing at the time. And if you are looking for hotspots, like moving to the save point can be quite misleading. Like you could be trying to optimize something which is not really the hot code, right? So these are the JVM arguments which you should provide when you're trying to profile your Java application to get like the most precise results. A good thing is, like, just a small note, there are profiling tools like async profiler, Andre Pagin is sitting here, which are setting these flags by default. So when you are using async profiler, we will talk about async profiler a bit later, but that will just set this flag by default, and you will get really like fine detailed data. To summarize, JDK file recorder, amazing tool, it's ubiquitous. You have it everywhere in the JDKs from Java 8 up. It's stable, safe, it's not gonna crash your application. It's fully supported. OpenJDK, Oracle, it's like, yeah, it's something very standard. Small downsides, what we find is that there is no real CPU sampler. That's the thing I was talking about. This approximation might be sometimes not good enough for the precision you want to get. It fails silently for errors. You saw that just jumps over, so the statistics can be slightly skewed. And currently, there are no like native frames in the stack traces, so we don't have mixed stack traces, Java plus native. It's like, it's not a big negative. It's like something, yeah. It would be nice, but so second thing, right? This async profiler, looping back. So this is amazing tool based on something which is called async get call trace, which came many, many years ago for prehistoric performance tool, Sun Performance Studio, whatever. And async profiler actually made really great use of it, and unlike the JFR CPU sampler, async profiler is not using like dedicated thread and going through the threads, but it will use kernel scheduler support to actually let the kernel send the signal every time a thread has consumed a certain number of milliseconds of the CPU time. It will send the signal. The signal will be processed in the signal handler. The thread will be interrupted, and then the async profile will just walk the stack. It will combine the async at call trace and the native stack walking to get you like combined stack trace of that place. Yep, easy. Easier said than done. But yeah, it's working perfectly. The number of samples you are getting is actually proportional to the CPU activity of the threads. So you can reason about the CPU activity of the threads based on the number of, or on the proportions of the samples collected.
But it only works on Linux and macOS, but it yeah. Really like, yeah, I heard like JetBrains did something for Windows, but it was told it was dark magic.
No.
You shouldn't do it at home, kids. But yeah, so it usually only works on Linux and Mac.
No. Yeah. So yeah, this is how you use, if you want to go and get your hands dirty with async at call trace, this is how you use async at call trace. You need to resolve the symbol, then you can use it. Well, of course, it's unofficial, so if whatever happens, it's like, yeah, hands off. It's your problem. But I must say, like most of the time, it works. Sometimes it might crash.
Andrew Brennan is chuckling, because it most often works, doesn't it? It never crashes, no? There you all know. And the funny thing is there was exactly one test case in the OpenJDK, and there's still only one in there, and for like many years it was broken, you'd only check the top frame, so there was a bug in there and nobody found it. So it's really unofficial.
Yeah, so that's why like async profiler is trying really hard to get to slightly different base. So there is this thing which was interesting. I don't remember exactly. It's like half year or something. VMstructs based stack walker. It's like handwritten stack walker based on something called VMstructs. And VMstructs is this neat thing which allows you basically to crack open JVM internals, if you know how. Again, it's unofficial, non-public. So you need to do all this dance with reading symbols, and you need to go and read the VMstruct CPP. See down there? So this is just an example. Like the file is huge. You can go to OpenJDK source code. You can read the VMstruct CPP, and then you get like glimpse of what everything is there. It gives you access to like almost everything. It was added for serviceability agent, so it's pretty powerful. But yeah, again, unofficial. There is no API. This is on your own. Summarize async profiler. Really cool tool. Like it's doing the best what it can with the like backing technology. That means async profile, async at call trace, and VMstructs. It provides the mixed stack traces, and I must say, like it's fairly stable. Like even with the async at call trace, some issues. With VMstructs, it's pretty. Yeah, I would say it's not crashing. Wow. Yes, I think it's not crashing.
And almost everybody forks async profile and adds new functionality, so it's open source, so it's fine. No, and it's the basis of many external profiling tools, so all your application performance monitors probably use async profile or fork of it under the hood.
Yeah.
But it still relies on JVM internals, which is...
Yeah, that's the thing. Like. Since all those things are unofficial, it's like there are no guarantees, right? Because it's like basically you are relying on internal implementation details. So there cannot be any guarantees. So that might be improved, I hope, somehow. And yeah, so these are like two tools which I've been using almost daily for last, I don't know how many years. There's this EBPF. I think you did something with EBPF, right?
It. So if you see me later running out, I'm running to the EBPF dev room doing their talk. But anyway, so there's also OTEL, the OpenTelemetry EBPF profiler. It's essentially runtime agnostic sampling written in EBPF, but what is, and it's like from the CNCF Foundation, so it's also a stable open source project, supports many languages besides Java, but also supports Java with native. And how it works, it uses eBPF. eBPF is a technology that makes the Linux kernel program work at native execution speed, so essentially you can extend the Linux kernel and attach to hooks. How this works, just half a minute on this, is that you compile your program, you can write, for example, in C, compile down to a bytecode. It's a fairly simple bytecode, not as complex and intricate as Java ones, but pretty simple bytecode, a pretty simple register machine with like 7 registers and so, and no loops or recursion, or technically not really loops, but no recursion in there. And what you then do, you load this into the Linux kernel because this program runs in the Linux kernel and we have a verifier. It's like the verifier that you also have for bytecode verifier in like the JK prevents you from having segmentation faults in the Linux kernel, which is pretty bad, typically because it crashes your system. And then you have a JIT compiler. The JVM people, you know that JIT compilers are really fun. It's like on all the major platforms like PowerPC and F390 and x86 too. And you can attach this program to system calls, to timers and more. And you can essentially do the same thing as you do with async profiler. Do also have CPU timers and anything and events. But the cool thing is it runs in the Linux kernel, so you have system-wide visibility and also it's far faster because you don't have to jump between kernel and user land all the time with the signal handler. And in the end, it just uses VM structs, which is essentially async profiler running in Linux kernel, which is kind of cool. So it has a few advantages. Essentially the same as async profiler, it's just a little bit more stable. It's backed by the CNCF, which is slightly larger, and it's a standardized protocol, and it's pretty cool, but it still relies on JVM internal, so we have the same problem as with async profiler. And I talked with people that were working on OTel, or the OTel Java profiler, and they were like, yeah, we would. It's interesting that we rely so much on internal, and they're slightly worried. But anyways,
I think we just went through like the most used profiling tools nowadays in Java land, and now we would like to talk a bit more about how we would prefer advancing this. So I saw like you were working on some JEP thing, like doing. Can you tell us more?
And we're interesting time. So But first, we're focusing on JFR, not on things like async Git callers and profiles, so just because we want to have something in the OpenJK that's tested all the time when the OpenJK tests it, that people that work on the OpenJK actually support, because when a change in the OpenJK is made, they don't crash our tool because it's in the JDK, so the tests run all the time, and that's really good, so we have a support solution. And one of the things that we're currently working on, is fingers crossed we look at you, MacRynard, comes into JDK25 as a proper CPU time sampler. That's what I'm working on like for the last 3 years. I heard you working on profiling levels, which you tell us in a minute on. We want to have mixed stack trace hopefully in the future, like with native ranks in, especially with Project Panama coming in, where we have where we have the easy ability to call C functions all the time. And perhaps more, we're thinking about this, profiling is still a young game, but it's growing exponentially. So I'll start with CPUX.
Yeah, go ahead.
Cool.
Yeah.
We're doing essentially the same as in profile does. We use the timer create function, so we use CPU timers on Linux only. And this gives, and how this works essentially, that every few milliseconds of runtime the thread has consumed on the CPU, we jump into a signal handler, we're triggered by the kernel, and we walk the stack trace, but we only gain like the basic addresses of functions. We have to implicate it later in a JFR thread, but this hopefully changes in the future. I think there are pretty cool people working on this, so let's see how it goes. The cool thing is this: with this way, we're losing two of the main pain points that we see in JFR currently, so that it fell suddenly because we record when something fell, so it's good to know, and that it has no real CPU time sampler.
Profiling levels, very fast. So this is not a new concept. Like Marcus here dug out somewhere in this email conversation. This started like more than 15 years ago, like thread coloring. But what is this about? We want to add more dimensions to profiling data than just like CPU time spent or memory allocated, right? So you can think about like you could attach something like REST API calls or generic operations to your profiling data, or distributed tracing ID if you are using distributed tracers, customer ID. So then that will allow you to slice and dice this data in kind of analytical fashion. So here we have an example. We have this bunch of samples here, which are taken from the thread T1. So this is basically something which is called flame graph.
And the flame graph is for all the uninitiated, essentially, visualization of the runtime of what the process does during the runtime. So essentially, we throw all the time information away, like the specific time information away, and just plot the proportion of the runtime of each method in the stack relative to the other methods. So for example, we see here the top methods on the above are like the top calling methods, they call down, and the deeper we go into the stack. And it's pretty cool visualization that you see all the time.
Yeah. So now we go back to the flame graph, and you can see that we have operations. We have REST, DB, UI, and on the left side we have colors, and we can slap the same colors on top of the samples. So, and we don't have to stop at one dimension. We can add more dimensions, whatever makes sense for us. So we can add like customer, and then we can recolor the samples which are related to this particular big customer to nice orange. And this is how the flame graph would look in real life. Like, it's not going to be nicely chronologically ordered. It will be kind of mixed up. And you can do like, okay, so I want to see only the REST related samples. Boom, you have it. Like, you are focusing just on the REST. And then when you add the second dimension for the customer, you can like laser focus just on the data which might be critical for you. So you can remove all the big data noise in the current profiling tools which are running on like huge services in huge fleets. And in Datadog, this is proving very invaluable. Like, we are having really good response from our users. This is not just something I'm coming up, or we are just going willy-nilly, like we want to have labels. OTel is also looking at the labels. So this is something which is gaining traction. And we've been talking with Eric Gallin here for a while, thinking about ways how this might get incorporated in JFR. So keep on watching the space. That might get interesting. And what about the auto profiler?
It's truly in a good place. We'll see how it goes. It might be the future. We don't know. Maybe to integrate JDK, JFR data. Maybe not. Let's see.
Yep.
So thank you for you all sitting here listening to us. I was Johannes Bechberger. You find me at nosinjones.de, my blog. And
Jaroslav Bachorek here. You can find me over here. You have resources link there with all the links we used here. Thank you. Thank you again.